Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. Jalen and Jacoby, the after show continues this Sunday following the latest 30 for 30 Lance as it continues with part two. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast as Jalen and Jacoby are joined by the film's director, Marina Zenovich, who shares a behind-the-scenes look into the making of the documentary. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show, on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Joe Thomas and Matt Chen going to join us in just a second. Man, Matt had him. He did. I'm going to say it right now, and Matt can hear me. Joe, sorry. Here's your SportsCenter update. Chase Elliott snapped Kyle Busch's 7-race Truck Series winning streak and collected a $100,000 bounty for beating NASCAR's most successful truck driver on Tuesday at Charlotte Motor Speedway. The Dolphins announced they are launching the outdoor drive-in theater inside the Hard Rock Stadium that will be used to show marquee games and team history, classic movies, commencement ceremonies, concerts, and more. They are also hosting an open-air theater that can host small groups for an intimate viewing experience in the complex plaza. And finally, the most popular version of the song La Cucaracha is about a cockroach that can't walk because it doesn't have marijuana to smoke. Really? For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Put it on the poll, please, Billy. Did you know La Cucaracha was about a cockroach that couldn't find its marijuana to smoke? That was very mean, what you just did to what? Matt Chen. He is a 6-time CrossFit Games athlete. He is a firefighter from Denver, Colorado. He had a life-threatening bike accident that nearly cost him a leg. And he's there with the 7-time All-Pro who's cheating because he's lost 1,000 pounds since he played football. And he barely loses, and you call him a choker. And it just ignores how exhausted both of these men were, right. and it ignores how brave Joe Thomas was in the final moment.
Listen, Matt Chen is everything that I am not, okay? He is a hero. He is strong. He has will, okay? But in that moment, I am telling you, he choked, okay? And even Matt would agree with me on that. He had Joe Thomas, and he choked it.
All right, well, let's ask him here. That's not the way I wanted to introduce him, but thank you, Matt, for making the time.
Sorry.
You did have Joe Thomas beat. Again, the Titan Games, we should mention this, the Rocks Titan Games, Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. Take us through, if you haven't seen the video, it's an exhausting course, and he catches Joe Thomas from behind, he passes him, and then he's just got to insert something in a slot, and Joe Thomas does it somehow faster. So thank you for joining us, Matt. I'm sorry about my co-host. What happened?
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think I choked. Yeah, you know, I got so worked up. You know, we didn't get a lot of exposure to any of these events ahead of time. We got to do like one walkthrough and ask some questions about how, you know, pieces of apparatus and stuff like that worked. So you know, really the chance to really try it was, you know, during the event. And I made a couple mistakes early on that I fell behind Joe. And then I got a little worked up in my head and really, you know, pushed on the gas pedal to try to catch up to him. And when I had that opportunity, I think I was just so gassed from pulling the Atlas stone across the floor that when it came time to, you know, break the I think they call it the idol, break and grab the idol, that my hands were just, they were just numb. And then I had no accuracy. I couldn't slide that key into the slot. And I look over and Joe already did it. And it was a big bummer, but you know what? Hats off to Joe. I mean, he stayed cool, calm, and collected the whole time. And it was a good competition.
Joe, it was the best competition in sports we've had in 2.5 months. It's the closest competition any of us have seen anywhere in sports in 2.5 months. Joe, how exhausted were you? Because that seems an unholy thing to do, even at your reduced size.
Yeah, I trained pretty hard for that thing. But like Matt was saying, you actually have so little oxygen going to your brain towards the end that you start losing coordination. It's almost like jumping into a freezing river or something where your brain wants to do something with your hands and your feet, but you just can't do it. And it's not lactic acid buildup. It's actually physically not getting oxygen into your brain. If you watch that last, the race with me and Matt, when I jumped off of the, falling waffles, like we were calling them, or the falling French toast, I actually just fell to the ground. I landed fine and I just fell because I couldn't feel my legs. And I had lost coordination at that point. And so, once we got to the ball and chain carry, I was just really trying to focus, and I was starting to kind of lose my vision. And so I was just trying to watch the floor about 6 feet in front of me, kind of back when I was in my football days and I was pushing the sled. I would just try to watch the grass 6 feet in front of me and just focus on each blade of grass to try to get your mind to overcome its inability to work. And all I can say is I was just a little faster at the insertion point, which has kind of been the story of my life. And that was the secret to success at the end.
Well, explain to us whether you think that Stugatz is being too mean to Matt Chen and that Matt Chen is being too mean to Matt Chen when, given what you just said, I couldn't feel my legs and I was about halfway through the thing. Do you think Matt Chen choked?
Well, Stugatz is an elite level athlete that he has discipline that few people on earth can contain. So he's fair to criticize whoever he wants, but I think it's fair. I mean, you look at the results. It's a results business, just like football. Whoever finishes at the end a little quicker, a little more focused, they get to shake Rock's hand.
Yep. Matt, can you tell us what level of haunted were you by the way that it ended? Like, does that stay with you for several nights? Is it something that makes you lose sleep, or do you shake that off?
I think it's just like a loss in any sports. You look back at the things that you could have done differently, and they definitely haunt your head. And, you know, it was just my wife and I in the hotel room during the filming of this thing, and I think she told me, she's like, all right, move on. It's you got tomorrow. Because, you know, you play back the entire event in your head and you can pick apart, you know, the five things that you could have done better. But, you know, it was a lot of fun and it fired me up. Like, for the rest of the competition that I got to be a part of, it fired me up to, you know, I was hoping that I would get to face Joe again because he was, in my opinion, he was the best athlete out there that I had seen and definitely that I had faced. You know, he was just go, and it surprised me because of Joe's size, but he just kicked ass.
Matt, right after the event was over, right after you had lost and Joe realized he had won, was Joe talking trash to you? If so, please share it with us.
Oh, no, not to me. I mean, I think we were pretty cordial before and after, and I think, you know, playing back the stuff you see on television, I think that's kind of just the Hollywood stuff, but you tell me, Joe, were you talking trash?
There was no talking whatsoever. I was just looking for a medic in case I fell down and hit my head because I couldn't breathe and I couldn't see. Yeah.
Did you think, Joe, that you were going to do that well? Did you think at any point that you were going to lose? I got to think those last few seconds, you got to be saying to yourself, bleep, I'm a Cleveland Brown. I always lose.
No, I was thinking the opposite. I'm a Cleveland Brown. I never lose. No, you know, the funny thing is, you, like Matt said, they didn't let you go through the course in advance. And before you signed up and joined the show, you had no idea what the challenges were. And so for me, I was just focusing on doing each obstacle one at a time as smoothly and quickly as possible without even looking at Matt. I had no idea where he was. I didn't even know until Monday night that Matt fell when we were going on the little, like, monkey bar things up the incline. And so when I watched it back, I was kind of surprised how far behind he fell and how quickly he caught back up. It was pretty remarkable. But I mean, you're just so exhausted. You're just trying to focus on little small details as you're moving through there, because it is so physically demanding and you're just trying not to die.
Watch the Rocks Titan games Mondays, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. When you say physically demanding, you played football. Is it in any way comparable? Like, in terms of your level of exhaustion, have you ever been competing and been that kind of exhausted?
No. It's interesting because in the NFL, a play is 3 to 5 seconds. I mean, you go as hard as you can for 3 to 5 seconds, but then you typically get 30 seconds in between. And before you have the next play, that's 3 to 5 seconds. And it's 60 to 65 of those. But in this sport, you're going 3.5, almost 4 minutes continuous. So it's basically like doing an entire game compressed into 3.5 or 4 minutes. And I've never been that exhausted. I've never been that much into my lactic acid buildup in my body where I couldn't see, I couldn't breathe, my lungs hurt, and I was losing coordination. The closest thing would be like some 2-minute drive if you're down in Florida in September. But even that is over in 10 plays, and it's over 7 minutes, and you get breaks in between when you're resting at the line of scrimmage. To have no rest, you just keep funneling down that that downward spiral, and you just can't ever find a way to rest at all. There's no part of that obstacle course on Mount Olympus that you have any way to recover whatsoever.
Again, watch the Rocks Titan games Monday, 8 Eastern on NBC. Joe, it appears Matt wants a rematch. I don't know if you can make that happen, but would you grant him a rematch?
I'm pretty happy with the results of round one, so I think I'm just going to let the results stand there, my man.
So what happens next, Joe? You compete next Monday? Is that what, Matt, will you watch that?
Will I watch next Monday?
Yes.
Is that the yeah, of course. I mean, you know, even the episodes that, you know, Joe and I are not in, the other regions, I'm definitely going to watch it because, you know, we did not get to see any of the other competitions go down. The audience was kind of in lockdown, and other than The Rock and his studio team, you know, I don't think anybody got to see all of the events. So I'm excited to see how all of them kind of the event as a whole played out.
Joe, do you know who you're going up against? Do you know if you've just beaten your toughest competitor? Do you know what is in front of you on Monday?
I don't, and I don't even know how they're going to lay the show out. I mean, we filmed this back in February after the Super Bowl, but they didn't want anybody to know what happened, who were the other competitors, how were they doing. It was really a big fairness thing. I mean, they had all these fancy suits from the lawyers company that were making sure that nobody was watching the other competitions, and you weren't talking amongst yourself so that nobody could complain about a fairness problem when it was all said and done. So, like Matt said, I'm excited to see the other competitors. And the only thing I got to make sure is that my son doesn't watch any of the other competitors, because the race between me and Matt, he was cheering way harder for the guy in red. And I kept having to remind him, no, daddy's in the black outfit.
What?
Cheer for daddy. But apparently the firefighter story really pulled at his heartstrings. So now I think he's going to have a Matt Chan bobblehead in his room, or one of those fat heads on the wall.
Guys, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it. Watch the Rocks Titan games Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, NBC. Appreciate the time, gentlemen. Thank you for being on with us.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back. A 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
If you missed any of our interviews, please check them out on demand in the Dan Le Batard Show podcast, brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant that catches things that might look wrong with your credit card, sends an alert to your phone, and helps you fix them. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. Dan, it's time for Straight Talk. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
So a couple of Dolphin-related things that we can talk to Greg Cody about, because the Miami Dolphins seem to be filled with hope for the first time in a long time. Tua's got the number one and number two selling jerseys in the NFL. Miami is starved for some sort of face. Dwayne Wade told the reporter Cameron Wolf for ESPN.com, quote, "If the Dolphins get it going, it's going to be a Dolphins town. We did as much to make it a basketball town as possible, and Miami Heat is there to stay, but let's not get it twisted. Florida is football. Once they get their bleep together, they're going to be big and bigger. But those Heat guys, Bam, Tyler Hero, are going to battle him for it. He's going to have to earn it. How you put yourself in that conversation is doing something great, something that people have never seen before, and obviously winning. Now, right now, Hard Rock Stadium, Stugatz, is empty, can't be used, so it's been turned into a drive-in theater, which is a wonderful idea. Like, right. It's going to be a drive-in theater, and you can socially distance, and that's about as entertaining as that stadium has been in 20 years. And when you see this, Greg, when you see the hope involved with what's going on with the Dolphins, I actually laughed out loud the other day reading a Miami Herald story by Barry Jackson, just the headline, "Dolphins looking to be a dynasty." I mean, it made me burst out laughing. The idea that anyone, like, what the hell are we talking about? Dynasty. How about have a winning season? How about win a playoff game? Like, what do you mean dynasty?
Yeah, I laughed out loud at that as well. We're really getting ahead of ourselves with all of this, but that in and of itself is a refreshing thing for Dolphin fans to be able to feel that kind of energy. You know, I think part of it is Tom Brady leaving the AFC East and there being a sense of a competitive division for the first time in 20 years. You know, if Tua is as good as people hope, I'm not talking dynasty, but they're going to be an exciting team for the first time in a while. He's unquestionably going to be the face of South Florida sports, and Dwayne Wade is right and has a great perspective. This is a football town. Basketball borrowed it for a while, but it's a football town.
I don't think it's unquestionable that Tua will be the face of South Florida sports. He has to be good in order to be the face of South Florida sports. I would also say that South Florida has the worst face of any market in America in terms of who their face of sports is right now. I don't even know who it is. Is it Jimmy Butler? Is it Bam? Is it Tua already without even taking a snap? We seem faceless, to be quite honest with you. And I would tell you, Greg, that the notion of them having a dynasty, I don't think it's that far off when you consider that Brady is outside of the division. I don't know how good they're going to be. I don't know. The Jets have never been good. And then you're leading on the Buffalo Bills. So if Tua can be great, if he can be the face of South Florida sports at the most important position in sports, the Dolphins have a chance to make a great run here for the next 10 years or so.
Stugant, who the hell would you not be willing to grant possible dynasty status if you're willing to do it for a team that's won one playoff game in 20 years? Like, it is laughable. Not talking about a dynasty. They can't put together a winning streak of playoff games. They can't put together an interesting streak of relevant football. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
That was then. This is now. Now they've got a quarterback that, Dan, before the injury, everyone had him far ahead of Joe Burrow. everybody, and then you take Brady out of that division, and you sprinkle in two horrid organizations in the Bills and the Jets, and the Dolphins have a chance. That's all I'm saying. They got a young wide receiver. They got a young defense, young coach from the Belichick tree. And if this quarterback can be good in a bad division, the Dolphins have a chance to make a run here. That's all.
Yeah, and it's not just the addition of Tua. You know, we're talking about a team that's just had three first-round draft picks. They've got five first-round draft picks in a two-year span. All of that talent trade-off is beginning to pay off.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here's your SportsCenter update. Chase Elliott snapped Kyle Busch's seven-race Truck Series winning streak and collected a $100,000 bounty for beating NASCAR's most successful truck driver on Tuesday at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. The Dolphins announced that they are launching an outdoor drive-in theater inside Hard Rock Stadium. That will be used to show marquee games and team history, classic movies, commencement ceremonies, concerts, and more. It's very cool. They are also hosting an open-air theater that can host small groups for an intimate viewing experience in the complex plaza. And finally, human testicles have taste buds. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Lebatard Show on Twitter. Did you know that human testicles had taste buds? And also put on the poll, would Lance Gunderson have won five Tour de Frances? Lance Gunderson.
There's no shot, man.
Mike, did you like Lance the documentary?
I loved Lance the documentary. Part one aired on Sunday, and I love that we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, since Mike, we let Michael Jordan curse, everyone can curse now, but only on Sunday nights, which is weird because it's like a family primetime night. But I thought it was well done. All the concerns about the Michael Jordan Last Dance, because he had so much creative control, really don't apply to this one, because I don't think anyone's coming away with this saying, man, I really feel sorry for Lance. You obviously feel for what he went through, but it's established right off the bat that people had problems with Lance before he got sick. People still have even bigger problems now with Lance after he got sick. He's just generally an unlikable guy, and he even gives voice to that. He kind of understands that he's a difficult person. It's the most interesting I've ever been in a bicycle documentary. I'll tell you that right now. So you hear multiple sides to the story. You hear his own truth. He articulates that at the beginning. You kind of see that everyone is still kind of afraid of Lance Armstrong because he's still so powerful. He is the name there that people, you can tell that they're not fully giving you everything because they know it's just going to get back to Lance. So I find it interesting, and I can't wait to see part two, which is where we now see his rise, and year in and year out, he is winning the Tour de France. And then I want to see how brazen he is about his lies, because he didn't just lie about what he did. He challenged journalists. He got vulgar with people who dare challenge him, and he was a chronic cheater, a chronic cheater.
Billy, why were you wagging a Mutombo finger here at something that Mike Ryan said? What was objectionable there?
I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page, that cursing is not allowed now just because it was in those documentaries on Sunday nights. Like, I know there could be some confusion. Everyone on their best behavior.
Yeah. Okay. So we can only curse Sunday nights on ESPN at 8 p.m. So just keep that in mind. It doesn't apply to, you know, middays on ESPN radio.
Has anyone else seen the Lance documentary? Because we've talked before about the idea that it would stretch all reason. It doesn't make sense in terms of too good to be true, that everyone else in your sport is doping and you're beating them while not doping. Like, it's simply not something that could possibly happen, that anyone is so much better than everyone else that they can beat everyone else who's cheating without also cheating. Tony, what did you think? You're with Mike on the idea that he's not very likable, right?
Yeah, he's definitely not very likable, but what I thought too was, are we going into this having it be a sympathetic puff piece, or was this actually going to be the story of what happened? Because, you know, in hindsight, we know that he was cheating and he was brazen about challenging people. But one thing that I found interesting was that they go early on in his life when he was running triathlons, and he was just absolutely the authority figures in his life he had no respect for. His triathlon coach came out and buried him within the first 15 minutes of the doc.
That is something that I've always found interesting about Lance Armstrong, who hosted the ESPYs, the idea that we are so interested in America winning that we wrapped a bicycle in France in the flag and turned Lance Armstrong into somebody that made us care about the Tour de France in a way we never have before and we never will again, and we haven't since.
All right, I'm going to have to check this out because I am still reeling from The Last Dance being over. So I needed a Sunday to myself. I needed a Sunday to kind of process that we were done with Michael Jordan, maybe forever, which made me sad. So I will get to it. But I will tell you, Dan, that my wife watched it. So I don't know what's going on here, because she said to me that she had a lot of sympathy for Lance Armstrong, that he came off very well, that he came off likable, and she was asking me questions. Now, I'm muttering under my breath, he's a cheater. Every time she asked me something, cheater, cheater, cheater. I don't need to watch it, cheater. But she was telling me, what is Lance supposed to do if the rest of his sport is cheating and he knows and thinks he's better than all the other guys who are doing the same exact thing that he is doing? And he took all his fame and turned it into something really, really positive, whether he cheated or not, where he did a lot of good and raised a lot of money for a lot of people. And therefore, she came away, walked away from part one. She's like, I like that guy. I like him. And I told him, cheater, cheater.
His confidence, he's extremely confident. Yes. And I do see it being equal parts off-putting and equal parts attractive. Part two is really going to tackle all the good that he does, but how do you reconcile just a bad person doing all this good? So I'm interested to see that. Also, they sort of highlight his fall when he goes to a charitable event called Babes for Boobs. And this is a guy that was on Letterman and, you know, class embodied when he was doing all these, you know, White House events for his charity and his foundation. And now he's being introduced by Eric Burns at Babes for Boobs. And he has to go down the back alley. And Eric Burns is like, you know, is this all necessary? No one cares anymore, Lance. We're sneaking out by the dumpster. We're leaving a place called Babes for Boobs. We can go out the front door. No one's going to stop you, dude.
Greg Cody, MLS commissioner. Greg Cody, a journalist in our midst. MLS commissioner Don Garber sent a memo threatening a fine or firing of anyone who leaked anything to the media, especially The Athletic. The Athletic, of course, reporting that Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber sent a memo threatening to fire or fine anyone who leaked anything to the media, especially to The Athletic.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you, like your mom when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check, birthday. Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It is time for the movie of the day. It is brought to you by Redbox. Dan, in honor of Louis Gossett Jr.'s birthday, He is 84 years old today. Happy birthday to one of the great actors of our lifetime. I have my top three movies with Louis Gossett Jr. Number three, The Principal. Just a great movie. He's a principal. Number two, An Officer and a Gentleman. One of the great movies of all time. Louis Gossett Jr. is an officer and he's a gentleman. And my number one movie of all time with Louis Gossett Jr.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, he's not?
No. I think there was a story about an officer and the gentleman. Richard Gere might have been the gentleman. Although he was an officer too. I'm not exactly sure, but I don't think both were. I don't think one guy was both things.
Hey, you might want to check on that. I mean.
All right, put it on the poll,
Maybe
Guillermo.
By the end of the movie.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Was Lou Gossett Jr. both an officer and a gentleman in An Officer and a Gentleman?
And my number one movie all time, Louis Gossett Jr., Iron Eagle. I mean, just an absolute classic. 2 hours have never gone by so quickly in my entire life. It's amazing. That is the movie of the day brought to you by Redbox. The greatest mystery of all time is now streaming on Redbox. Don't miss the theatrical home release of Scoob. Discover Scooby-Doo's epic destiny and stream this premium rental with Redbox on demand today.
A fascinating thing is happening in comedy where comedians feel threatened and scared of cancel culture. You have seen that Jimmy Fallon is now apologizing profusely for on Saturday Night Live. It's not like we didn't see it 20 years ago doing blackface to make fun of Chris Rock. We accepted it at the time. 20 years later, some people are new to it, seeing it, and advocating for the canceling of Jimmy Fallon. Retroactive 20 years ago because the angry mob is learning about it now and times have obviously changed. Fallon got very good advice because the way that he apologized is the way to make the angry mob go away. But I heard Kevin Hart on the Joe Rogan podcast, Dugatz, and this was fascinating to me because there is no disputing that comedians really feel threatened by this very real fear of us overcorrecting our sensitivities so much that they can't do comedy. Now, many of them will tell you that that fear is not something that is, it's not something that they worked with before. Kevin Hart is afraid of it. I saw that Kevin Hart documentary on Netflix. Kevin Hart, you gotta say that Kevin Hart is the most successful financial comedian ever, do you not? Given that he's the only guy who sells out football stadiums. But Kevin Hart was talking about Dave Chappelle with Joe Rogan. The part I found fascinating is how burdened Kevin Hart is, how jealous he is that Dave Chappelle chose his own path with freedom and is defending comedy by doing his act without sort of being draped in all these corporate overlords that make Jimmy Fallon apologize because he's got so many responsibilities. And this kind of controversy is not something that you can have near you. But when you hear Kevin Hart talk, and the thing I wanted to ask you guys is if we ever recognize the size of greatness when we're in it, right? Because Allen Iverson and Randy Moss were much safer after their careers than during it. We lionized them after, but they were threatening during their careers. So I'm not sure that I can argue with Kevin Hart when he says Dave Chappelle is already better than Richard Pryor ever was. Like, already the greatest ever, because it's hard to see that stuff when you're in it, but the reason he's saying he's the greatest ever is because he does it so unrelentingly his way, with no fear, not caring about cancel culture, and not beholden to anybody since he walked away from that $50 million to be in South Africa because he wouldn't be controlled by corporate overlords and all of those responsibilities. So Kevin Hart tells this story where he's doing two shows in a football stadium in Seattle. And he gets a call from Chappelle, and Chappelle's just doing like a pop-up show.
Like, he just showed up in Seattle and he wanted to do something. Shows up in a bus with a trailer on the back that's got a bunch of bikes because his guys want to ride bikes. I'm assuming they're motorcycles.
Right.
And he just does it his way. And Kevin Hart comes running over to wherever Chappelle is because he just wants to be around what he considers the greatest ever. And the part that I find fascinating about it is Kevin Hart has everything. Popularity, money. He'll never have what Chappelle has. He can't have what Chappelle has. And it's why he looks and he says, I bow down to Chappelle. Because give me another comedian that you, I guess you could say Seinfeld maybe in terms of financial success. But what Kevin Hart is doing financially right now in terms of selling out stadiums, it doesn't have a lot of rivals. And I was interested to hear him say, no, Chappelle's the greatest of all time. He's past Richard Pryor.
Would Kevin Hart be able to pull this off? Like, if does Kevin Hart need all of that stuff and need to sell out? Like, is he funny enough on his own where he could have blazed his own trail without doing it the way that Kevin Hart has done it? Because it took a lot of courage, it did, for Chappelle to do it the way he did, turning down that kind of money and doing it his way and sticking to his morals and his principles, even when others were probably telling him not to. I don't know if Kevin Hart could have pulled that off.
I think Kevin Hart has too much to lose. He's commercial in a way that Dave Chappelle isn't. Dave Chappelle has that street cred, but he pays a price for it because, yeah, he gets a big Netflix money, but he's not doing the huge family-friendly blockbusters in the summer like Kevin Hart is doing with Jumanji. Kevin Hart, according to Forbes, was the most lucrative stand-up comedian at just under $60 million, and that's not because of the gate or selling out Philadelphia's football stadium.
Right.
It's because of the box office. It's the developmental deals. And Dave Chappelle, they've attempted to cancel Dave Chappelle like three times in the last 2 years. Kevin Hart can't be that commercial by having Dave Chappelle's edge.
You can't be edgy and his kind of popular, but it was fascinating to see the prison that Kevin Hart is in because he envies and speaks to that envies Dave Chappelle's freedom because he's doing it exactly the way that he wants to. So Cody, I ask you as our resident historian, like, can we recognize greatness in real time?
No, I don't think you can.
It's Dan, Stu, and Greg Cody on ESPN Radio.